Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you are listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 102.5 WFLA. Now in studio, your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we've got a great show coming up today with a lot of good things going on. And the first thing that we're going to start with is six simple ways to boost the curb appeal of your home. And the curb appeal, as you know, Danielle, is so critical because what happens is a lot of times people think, you know, that their house is okay and somebody will make an appointment to go in it. But if they come up and the curb appeal isn't acceptable to them, they won't even go on the inside.
Nope.
And so you think, well, you know, they didn't even make it to the inside. You know, I cleaned it all up and I got everything all ready and all that kind of good stuff. But basically when it comes to, you know, the outside, it's just as critical as the inside,
yep,
if not more, because you want to get them to the inside.
Yeah. Well, they always say first impression is a key. So
that's right. And people make decisions very quickly. You know, I know there's sometimes when you're showing a house and people will go in and out and like in 30 seconds, like they'll walk in the front door sometimes and go, okay, I'm ready. And sometimes they'll actually walk through the house and be ready in like 10 or 30 seconds. And the owner goes, how could they make a decision that fast? But that's exactly how it happens.
Yeah.
And so if the outside's not looking great, then that's a big problem. So the first thing is to do a quick cleanup. So that's, you know, whether you talk about power washing many times, mm-hmm, and that kind of thing, that you might want to do that. If there's leaves or twigs or anything like that, the mulch is kind of, you know, spotty.
Yep.
You want to make sure that all of that kind of stuff looks good and is done. And, you know, now it, when you actually look at, like I was looking at my yard and the good old frost has done a little number on a couple of the plants. So I just need to go ahead and replace them because it looks a little shady and everything right now with that. But the frost should be over. I mean, we might have another cold front and all that kind of good stuff come through. And that's what I'm kind of waiting for, to make sure we don't have anything. But basically, that's what it comes to. So you want to do a quick cleanup to make sure that everything looks beautiful on the outside. And it doesn't take that long to do it, but just doing little things makes a big difference.
Yeah, trimming a bush, or like you said, I mean, with the couple of freezes that we've had, you know, some of the plants have taken a hit. So I would say maybe just remove them.
Yeah.
And if anything, for the time being, until we don't know, you know, the weather changing, maybe just put like an empty vase or something like that. I mean, just something in that place, but I think it's great.
Well, and then our next point is to add plants. So even if it's adding the annuals, I think it's the annuals, that right now, you know, it's like when you see the violets out there, I mean, they last pretty much, they can take pretty cold weather.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you can find those, but I saw petunias are out. And, you know, with those being out at this time of year, they can take some pretty cold weather and that kind of thing as well.
Exactly.
So when you're, you know, going in and maybe putting in the annuals, and it, you know, you can get a whole flat of them for 10, 12 bucks or something like that to actually make a lot of color and make things look
color pop,
a lot different. Or like you just said, you know, buy some kind of a vase or some kind of a mixture
of
something.
Kinds of stuff. Put a water fountain if you can, or if not, just freshen up the mulch.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that goes a long way. I mean, you get the colored mulch. I mean, I know it fades in a couple of months, but just to get it on, you know, to get the house looking at its best peak. You know, spend a few bucks and get some of that mulch. Spring is coming. So, you know, all those big stores are going to have that stuff like $5 for $10.
So, you know, like there's the small trees and the large plants and hanging plants and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
They can just make your house look inviting.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that that's what you're doing. And then the next thing is possibly slapping on a fresh coat of paint. And maybe you don't have to do the whole house, but maybe it's just doing the front door or something like that gives it a pop and gives it that freshness. But nothing does look better than a fresh coat of paint on a property, especially, you know, if you've got cracks and they've filled, you have to fill them in and all that kind of good stuff, which we all have those small settling cracks, you know, in our houses. That's just part of Central Florida, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it just does require a little bit of maintenance. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is adding a little light. And that just makes a huge difference, too, when, you know, when people are going into your house, they're looking for light. But when they're looking at the outside, they're looking for light, too. So having like the porch light on, if it's getting dark.
They've got all kinds of cute little doohickeys that you can do. I mean, I was at a house yesterday, and the gentleman's, he had like these little step-ups, very little step-ups, you know, and he put like a different tile, but then he also put like a rope light. And I thought that was just so impressive. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, because the lady was all worried that she was going to trip, like, you know, if she was considering that house. And the listing agent was there, and he was like, oh no, he's got a great feature here. And you just turn it on, and then these little rope lights came on, and it highlighted like the walkway and the little step ups into the house. And it was just really nice. Like, I wouldn't have thought to put a rope out in the front. You know, maybe that's more something in the back. But yeah, like you said, I mean, and it was not, it wasn't overpowering, because they were just the little lights. It was just perfect.
Right.
But then, you know, like, I mean, just even putting those nice little, those little solar lights along the walkway.
Solar lights along the walkway, yeah.
Or around the porch, you know, putting, you know, just changing out the light bulbs, or even the fixtures are so inexpensive that, and that makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference when you're doing it. And then the next thing that you can do is you can switch out the hardware. And, you know, if you've got brass hardware, it gets pitted and turns brown or whatever, you know, there is that brown,
it's like a dull rust almost.
There is that those brown fixtures, and they do look great, but basically the bottom line is that the fixtures or your hardware on your door and all that kind of stuff is awesome in what you want to do and make sure, like, so if it's the house numbers, the doorbell, the door knocker, the handle, and the mailbox, and those kinds of things. Those little things will make a big difference in regards to what your house looks like and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. They even have those cute little magnetic things that you can put on the garages. And those are inexpensive. I think I saw them for like $20. And they're just those little black little metal things that you can dress up
that
the
garage. That it looks like you got big hinges and that kind of thing.
And that was so inexpensive. I was like, wow, that's a cute little upgrade. I mean, and again, it's $20, and you can probably take it with you when you move, because they're magnetic.
So, but if it's attached to it and people love it, for $20, you might want to leave it. But basically, you know, so you want to get creative with your hardware a little bit and how it looks, and just make it pop. And the next thing is to stage the area.
Yep.
Which obviously what it might be. And, you know, we were talking about this house the other day, and it was the back, but it could be the same for the month, for the front. And basically, this house had a huge area in back that was cemented in, because the people didn't want to have...
maintain the grass.
They didn't want to have the grass, which is a positive thing for a lot of people. But a lot of people have a hard time visualizing, you know, what you would do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we talked about was just putting a little bistro set out there.
Yeah.
And you might do that in your front as well, or, you know, chairs that are on the front porch if you've got that. Again, you could put some kind of a seasonal wreath or some kind of flowers or that kind of stuff. A fresh doormat, you know, goes a long way. And so, you know, it's all in the details. It's all in the little things that are actually going to get people, you know, into your house. But the bottom line is that it comes down to, like we said, that front, that curb appeal when people pull up.
Yeah.
That they want to make sure that that what they see on the outside is what they're expecting on the inside. And so if you can't do that on the outside, you're never going to get them on the inside.
That is correct. Yeah, it happens too often. People will drive up and they're like, nope, nope. And I'm like, but this is the house. No, it's not. I don't want to see it anymore. They just want to keep on driving. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah. So it's tough to get people out of that position, first impression. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com. We'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plumet, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So, you know, what we're going to talk about now is basically, you know, is it a good time to buy and what people think out there and all that. You probably heard on the news this week that they said Forbes reported that Orlando is the number one place to invest in real estate right now because they expect big increases, which, you know, is kind of a catch 22. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like great for as homeowners and everything. But at the same time, you know, it's like we don't want to price that first time buyer out of the market.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, the good and the bad, you know, and the cycles and everything that we go through. But there are a lot of opportunities in Orlando for investors and everything, obviously, right now because of the appreciation. But then again, because of the strong rental market makes it equally as important and good and everything. So when we're looking at whether people think it's a good time to buy or not, you know, there's some studies and why people do what they do. And 80% of the, 79% of the homeowners and 58% of non-owners say they believe it's a good time to buy right now. So yeah,
couldn't agree more.
So the thing is that the majority of the non-owners aren't acting on their sentiments because of a lack of affordable housing options and the difficulty of saving a down payment. So the bottom line is that a lot of that is perception. It's not reality. And so you have to kind of look at the whole big mm-hmm. picture and figure out a plan. And that's what one of the things that I think that we're really good at as working with people to find exactly, you know, what they're looking for and what they need to do in order to make those dreams come true. Because it's not just, you know, hey, sometimes it is because you've set yourself up. I want to buy a house today and you go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time it is a little bit of planning and it might not. And it's not necessarily going to be a sacrifice for you, but it's just going to be looking at things a little bit different and doing things different. You know, it's like always when you look at hindsight's 2020 and you look back and you think, oh, if I would have only done this, then I would have had a different result and that exactly. kind of thing. But the bottom line is that if you look at it overall, then you can make the right plan and it's not a problem to do whether you want to buy or sell or mm-hmm. whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So the reason that homeowners wouldn't buy now is what they're looking like is that some people say that they would like to have a better or more stable employment situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Well, that makes sense. That's a huge factor when you're buying a home.
It is. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you actually, you know, do have mm-hmm. that employment, you know, that's steady and all that kind of stuff. But if you are working for somebody and have been for a while, then, you know, the employment situation isn't really a big situation. The second thing that's only about 10 to 13% usually that are in that range. But there's about people between 12 and 16% that have no desire to settle down in one location. So those of you out there that hit that you want to move around and all of that kind of stuff, I don't know how
you're living that gypsy lifestyle is what that is.
Well, you know, when I first graduated from college and I moved to Chicago and all of that, and I moved five times in 4 years because of the different leasing situations and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, I'm like, I'm buying. I am just like, you know, it's like, I know there are people that enjoy moving. Yeah. I just don't happen to be one of them.
Nope.
And so it's like, once you get settled, it's like, you know, you're settled. Now you don't want to settle on what you're buying because it's, you know, not going to fit your needs long term, which I don't believe that you have to do that.
Mm-mm.
And so as a result of that, you definitely, you know, want to make sure that you're doing what you have to do. But the bottom line is that if you do like that gypsy lifestyle, then I can understand 100% that of why you would not want to purchase a house. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So another reason that people don't buy, and this is one of the bigger ones that's between 28% and 30% of the people out there that are saying that they don't want to buy, is because they want to improve their financial situation. And, you know, yes, that is something mm-hmm. that is important and that, but again, with guidance, with help, you're going to be able to improve that situation a lot faster. You're going to be able to improve it a lot smarter
mm-hmm.
so that it's like little things that make the difference. Just like the last segment we were talking about curb appeal, when you're talking about your financial situation, it's the little things that make a difference as well. So the bottom line is that you really want to look at the whole ball of wax in order to make that decision. And then the other reason, this is another big one, why people aren't ready to buy is because they have lifestyle considerations such as getting married, starting a family, retiring, you know, all of those kinds of things that they want to look at. And so, you know, those are the things that probably hold people back. But basically, when I think that you're really looking at it, most of those things you can plan for or know or
mm-hmm,
whatever exactly. that's going to go on. I mean, there's no guarantees in life, as we all know. Everything can change in a flash. But the yep. bottom line is that the way that you've got to look at it is that what's going to make the most sense for you and your family and everything like that. What they expect is that the housing demand in 2018 is going to be fueled by more millennials finally deciding to marry and have kids, and expectations that solid job growth and strengthening economy will push incomes higher.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that.
And the prices and mortgage rates are also expected to increase, so affordability pressures will persist. And that's just kind of, mm-hmm. you know, life being it. You know, when, you know, I'm dating myself, but when I bought my first house, the average interest rate, I think, was like 16.
Holy cow.
So it was really...
Wow, that's pretty steep.
It was pretty steep, you know, and I was able to get something blended, and I was at 11, which was, you know, really good, you know, because I was able to, you know, take over the mortgage of the person from before me, which doesn't happen too much anymore today. But basically, you know, when all of that stuff was going on, people were still buying houses because it came down to, just like it does mm-hmm. now for a lot of people, unless you're paying cash, it comes down to what's your monthly payment.
Exactly.
And so
well, with the way it's going now, too, I'm sorry to cut you off, is,
no, fine.
You know, the rents are going skyrocket. So
yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, you got to pay a rent regardless. Like if you're moving out on your own or whatever have you,
yeah.
you either have a rent or you're going to have a mortgage. And 9 times out of 10 in the market that we're in, you know, I'm noticing more often that the mortgages are less than what the rent is going to be.
Yeah, so the people that are renting out there, you know, it's like the amount that you're paying right now is probably, you would probably pay less in owning a home. And
mm-hmm.
that includes your
insurance,
your, if you've got a mortgage insurance,
yep.
then that's going to be included, your taxes
yep.
that you're going to have on the property. So your HOA fees, it's like any, which are the homeowners association fees. So any of those fees that you've got right now, you know, that would be involved in owning a house, I mean, you're still going to have electricity and water, just like when you rent, you
yep,
usually
exactly.
have electricity and water. But outside of that, when you just look at the overall, how much the rent costs versus how much it costs
mm-hmm.
to own a home, you're usually going to be so much better and so much further ahead with actually owning that home.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that, you know, it's that it's the right fit for you. And that's what mm-hmm. we, you know, spend our time. So what we actually do is meet with people in advance before we actually go look at houses. I know everybody thinks, oh, we want to go look at the houses. But the best thing for us to do is actually sit down with you, find out what your needs are, find out what you're looking for, get you set up with a lender that matches what you, your situation, and then actually go out there and look at things, look at houses that you can afford in the way that you can afford them and make things happen. Perfect. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home's sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So, what we're going to talk about now, you know, may not apply to a lot of you, but it applies to some of you. And it's what the next generation of luxury home buyers want. So, you know, this group of rising buyers, they do like the traditional dining rooms and modern amenities when it comes down to it. And these are the people between 25 and 49 year old, affluent buyers and what they're looking for. And they're going to be driving the luxury property market in the next few years. And so they've got, you know, they've identified these people and kind of what they're looking for and all that kind of good stuff. So they're the consumer to watch rather than the 50 plus aged counterparts when it comes to home buying, is what they're saying. They range from 25 to 49, and the future looks bright. 6 out of 10 of these people expect an inheritance of $1 million and more.
Wow.
And so they are more likely to have grown up in affluent and wealthy families and stand to inherit nearly $4 million on average. They know brands, they demand quality, and they're familiar with real estate. So basically,
I'm ready. I'm to be adopted at any time.
So personal wealth in the U.S. grew by $8.5 trillion in 2017.
Wow.
So that's a nice increase, I think. So the research and some surprises of what they want in a house is they're primarily looking for an urban home. Many are seeking a living area of 5,000 square feet or larger, because their families are growing and other generations are living with them, which we find that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the luxury market or the middle market or whatever, it's like we're finding more and more generational homes of where people are living together, which is kind of a cool thing, actually, and all of that kind of stuff. These people, they want extra space so they can have specialty rooms, which might be an office, a home theater, a music room, or a separate formal dining room. And that's a welcome revelation to some people that are marketing those traditional large houses and that kind of stuff. They're also looking for a gym and a pool or things. Now, we actually have a house on the market that matches all of these things, and it has all of these specialty rooms. And so
I think we've actually got a couple.
I think we actually do. And but the modern styles are growing in popularity. 27% are looking for modern style. 28% are looking for Victorian, and Tudor is 24%. And brick Georgian homes are 23%, which obviously we're not going to find any of those brick Georgian rooms. We might find ones that look similar that are stucco, but we're not going to find too many of those brick Georgian ones here in Central Florida. And they're happy. A lot of times they're happy with the traditional outside, but when they come inside, they want it to be more contemporary. And they want to make sure that there's privacy and security and they want to integrate the systems with their smartphones, which, you know, if that doesn't exist in a house, it's pretty easily to install. So that's not really a big deal. And, you know, there are still the 50 plus people out there that have their own important characteristics. The younger people take a variety of home style, but the luxury people, the older people are looking for contemporary and modern homes predominantly. They like big windows, new technology and materials, used and clean, open light-filled spaces, and all of those kinds of things. So security and amenities offered by large condominiums or apartment buildings are another huge thing that people are looking for as well. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home's sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So next, we're going to switch gears a little bit, but I found this article very interesting that it talks about how homeowners are richer than renters and why. And
that
so we were talking a little bit about it earlier, about people not wanting to necessarily get off of the rental kick. But, you know, and the number one reason that we think would be a good one for that, if you are a gypsy and you like to move around a lot. But outside of that, you know, homeownership, I think, is a really good thing for everything. So first of all, in order to buy a house, you know, part of your payment is going towards paying the principal of your mortgage. And so as a result of that, you're adding, you know, first of all, there's appreciation, hopefully, mm-hmm. which they expect to be here in Central Florida. But then the second thing is that, you know, you're actually part of your rental payments, as per se. If you're renting, it's completely going out the door. But if you're paying, you know, a mortgage, then part of that payment is actually going to pay off the principal, which is a really good thing because mm-hmm. it's a forced savings in some ways, but you have to live somewhere. So it's a really good thing to have and do. The other thing is that you've purchased a financial asset that's going to go on for a long period of time. So obviously that's what we were talking about, is the appreciation. So neither action is necessarily the best way to accumulate wealth, but together they're better than doing nothing, in theory. And the money spent on a down payment and principal, if invested other ways, could create more wealth. However, most renters spend the money that they save on other things. So they don't. So the people who own houses are more likely to invest and to save up for a rainy day, whereas the people that rent are more likely to spend their money. That's one thing.
Kind of makes sense.
Yep. So it's better to own a home for the average American, even with the recent changes to the tax law that lessens the tax advantage of home ownership. Now, those tax advantage changes in home ownership are really pretty minimal for most people. You know, for the luxury buyer that we were just talking about, if they've got a huge mortgage and stuff like that, then that does limit the amount that you can write off when it comes to the mortgage interest. But that always existed. It's just lowered a little bit. So for the average American and the average person out there, and probably the person that's renting, unless you've got like a $5,000 rental payment, for the most part, your home ownership, you're going to be able to write off most of that mm-hmm. payment, because your payment is property taxes, which are still write-offable. The second thing is a lot of it is interest, which is write-offable. And then another huge part of it, or the other part of it, is paying off your loans. So, you know, that's adding wealth to you. So when you look at that whole payment, you either get a tax deduction for the most part, mm-hmm. or you get to write off your an increase in your assets. So it's like, so not no chance of going wrong there. So people believe that home price appreciation in the U.S. is much higher than it really is. Over the long run, it exceeds inflation, but about 0.25% to 0.5% per point per year. So increases in the home prices and inflation must be defined in order to see what it is. But so basically what that means is that if your house value is going up, like say 4%, the inflation rate is going up 3.5%, you're still ahead. But if you're paying rent, you're just paying that additional amount in rental payments anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So basically, you want to do that. The other thing is that stocks historically have returned an annual average of 5 to 6% more than inflation. So you're going to look at that. But when you look at what happened with the stock market this week, there's no guarantees. And there's always a correction. There's always going to be times where the property is going up and down and all that kind of stuff. So you can't necessarily, you know, look at that as saying that that's the only thing to look at. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we will see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So, basically, when we're looking at what we'll kind of finish out this segment with is we were talking about whether or not homeowners are richer than renters and that. And the bottom line comes down to that, you know, it's to a certain extent, you shouldn't count on it this way, but owning your home does become somewhat of a forced savings. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps you build an asset that you normally wouldn't have because all that money is going to be thrown away. I mean, it's like when you look at it, and somebody pays $1,000 a month for rent, which is really hard to find something that's only $1,000 a month for rent these days. So $1,000 a month, you know, and you're there 5 years, that's $60,000 that you have nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Very, very true.
So you stay in a house for 5 years and you've got a $1,000 payment. You know, you've gotten, I don't have the stats here today, but I can bring them next week that we can talk about. But basically, when you look at it, you know, there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a 20 to 30% minimum of that $60,000 that you've gotten a tax break on, mm-hmm. that you've gotten a tax refund as a result of it, and you've got, you know, amounts that you've paid off on your house. So yeah. When you're looking at that $60,000, so instead of it being $60,000 that you've invested in your house, it's 40 or 38 mm-hmm. or 32 or something like that. I'll have to bring that. So where, because we've got all those calculators that we can figure it out. So if you're curious, you know, we're happy to offer that to you too, that we would show you, you know, how much you're paying in rent in the next 5 years. And if you bought a house, what the difference in your pocket would be paying the same amount of money. And so that's a really big thing to do. But one of the things that we found is really that buyers don't understand mortgage basics. And so that's a lot of why we say that if you are looking to buy, that the best thing to do is to actually sit down with us before you do it mm-hmm. and before you go too far down the path, because we actually educate you on all of these things. And so you can make the best possible decision based on that. It's a lot more than just finding a house online and, you know, finding somebody that's going to give you a loan for that. There's a lot of things to consider, and you do want to make the right decision because it is a big decision.
Yeah.
One of the biggest decisions that you're going to make in your life. And as time goes on and maybe you've bought multiple properties and, you know a little bit more about it, but basically the same thing, you know, every market is different. Every time period is different. So the loan products are changing all the time. The inventory is changing all the time. So just looking online and thinking that you're going to find what you're looking for is not necessarily, you know, what happens. Bad and thing. The good houses online go very quickly.
That's true. Sometimes they don't even make it online.
Well, a lot of times they don't. The really good ones don't. And so, you know, I had a lady that I was talking to all week that she kept telling me, sending me these ones. They're online. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's gone. Sorry, it's gone. So I said, why don't you tell me what you're looking for?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'll go to work and I'll find it and then I'll send it to you. And she's like, okay, that's a lot better idea. So I actually did that and, you know, found her much more of what she was looking for. And we were proactive and actually got what she was looking for as opposed to not getting what she's looking mm-hmm. for. So the bottom line is that, and that's if you're an experienced buyer or an inexperienced buyer, either way, you still run into those same roadblocks.
You do.
You know, even with the, you know, and we always talk about real estate being extremely local in the high, higher price points, there's a lot more inventory in Orlando than there is in the lower price points. However, finding the right one or the best deal in that, because there is so much inventory, it's hard to muddle through. And if you're just looking at the pictures online, it's really difficult to do because houses don't necessarily look the same once you get in them as they do online.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
Our job with the photos is to get people in the house. And not to get them out of the house or keep them out mm-hmm. of the house. It's just to get them in the house. So that's what we really want to do. So we're talking about mortgage basics to make sure that everybody understands that they don't understand the fundamentals of applying for a mortgage or what it takes to qualify for one according to the new survey. So people, 92% of the 2,000 people that they asked about this actually didn't know how much mortgage they could afford. And that's why, and there's all kinds of different products out there that exist for different credit scores mm-hmm. that exist if you have a down payment, if you don't have a down payment, you know, all of those kinds of things. So there's the best thing, again, is to sit down and to actually figure out, you know, who's your best bet to go to in regards to a mortgage. So what we've done is we've interviewed several mortgage lenders to figure out, you know, what product they have that's best. Like, for example, last week I was working with some people and, you know, they've been in business for 11 months and that's it. And they're doing very well and everything's going great, and gangbusters and everything. And the first lender that I sent them to, because I didn't know they'd only been in business 11 months, they didn't share that with me. They require for
1 year.
They require 2 years.
Oh, 2 years.
Ooh. That is what they require. So then I said, okay, well, all right, I've got this lender that requires 1 year. So we're just going to have to wait 1 month, you know, for them to, you know, do it in order to purchase a home as opposed to waiting another 13 months. Mm-hmm. So the situation is that they're very well qualified to buy a house. However, they couldn't buy it from this lender. And that doesn't mean that that lender's bad or anything like that. It's just the right matchup, just like it's the right house that you want to match people up with. The other thing is that most people are confused about rates versus points. And so basically what most people are concerned about is how much money it's going to cost them.
Mm-hmm.
So what regardless of what the rate is, I mean, when I was buying my house and I mentioned earlier that it was at 11%, that was a long time ago, and that's not what my loan is at now. But when I was buying it at 11%, it what mattered was the amount of the payment. It wasn't the amount of what the interest rate was.
Mm-hmm,
and
correct.
So when you're looking at that, I mean, that's really what you want to know is you want to know like what the payment is and what would it be at if it was at a different thing. What points are is that they actually can buy down the interest rate. So say that right now you're at 4.25% and you really wanted a 4% because you wanted to have your payment to be lesser every month for the next 30 years, sometimes you can, you know, buy down an eighth of a point by paying 1% of the loan today,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a quarter of a point, or everybody's got different plans, but that's where the difference is. So the rate is actually the amount that you're going to be paying for the next 30 years, and a point is what you're going to pay up front in order to reduce the amount of the payment that you're going to be having. And so most people didn't know what their closing costs are going to be either. So that's another thing that we sit down and talk about, because just because the house is, for simplicity purposes, $100,000 doesn't mean that that's all you're going to pay to get in the house.
It's just your down payment, correct? Yeah, you have both.
Yeah, so you have to go ahead and there's a lot of things that you need to do in order to make that happen. So one of the things is that you have to... you know, you have to have insurance on the house and you have to pay that up front for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So insurance obviously doesn't come free. There's a state tax on the mortgage. That's one of your closing costs that you have. And, you know,
taxes.
the property taxes and that kind of stuff, you know, usually you're going to get a credit because that's being paid in arrears. But basically, when you're looking at all of your closing costs, you know, there's a lot of things that are involved. So we have what we call a buyer net sheet that we actually sit down and can go through with you so you know what all the closing costs are. And the lenders do that too, because lenders all have a different fee and all of that kind of stuff. So it's critical that consumers actually know, you know, what that is. And then there's also a debt to income ratio. So this is something that slips up a lot of people mm-hmm. too. So, which is one of the reasons that if you are looking at buying a house, that you don't want to do any financial changes, you know, right now, which we don't have time to go into today. But in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio.com. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.
Bye. Have a great one.